everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, and I'm going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. K. Trevor Wilson joins me in just a little bit. He is our weekend headliner starting on this Thursday, the 29th. But let's tell you, we got shows. As I'm recording this, we are just hours away. So most of you won't hear this, but the beginner comedy class has a 7:30 p.m. showcase that the students of Bill Bouchard's Comedy 101, funny folks trying their hand at stand-up. Their friends and family come out. It's always a fun showcase. If you're looking for something to do, $15 gets you in the door tonight. That's at 7:30 p.m., May 27th. That's a Tuesday as we're recording this. And tomorrow night on Wednesday, the 28th, we've got the Behind the Blinds podcast live. Not sure what they talk about on Behind the Blinds. I did not do my research on that. But that's an 8 p.m. show. We'll link to their tickets. They're selling the tickets themselves for that one. It's not officially going through our Etix Comedy Castle thing. But you click on our website at comedycastle.com, and they'll get you that. I don't know enough about Behind the Blinds. I'm ignorant. I'll have to school myself because I'll be there for that show. So say hi to me if you're there for that one. And then Thursday, the 29th, K. Trevor Wilson comes in. Four shows this week. We're on the summertime schedule for some of these acts anyway. Tim Rayburn, another good Canadian, will be the MC. Blaine Hill feature. We've had Blaine on the show. He's terrific. And so it should be a great week. 7:30 is the showtime on Thursday, the 29th. 7:15 on Friday, the 30th. And then Saturday, we have the two shows at 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. And then we've got a show on the first day of June. June 1, Sunday, Justin Silva, special 7 p.m. start time with Justin. There's a lot of crowd work this Justin. I saw some of his clips. So if you like what he does, there's a link to what he's doing, too, on comedycastle.com. You can come see Justin. We got tickets, two different prices of tickets. You want to sit up close? You can do that because you might be part of the show. So if you like that, you buy the more expensive ticket. I don't know. Anyway, Sunday, June 1st, 7 p.m., Justin Silva. But let's before we get into Trev and what he's up to nowadays since Letterkenny ended, we should just talk about the summer here and our schedule here at the Comedy Castle. We will have the five shows some weeks. Some weeks it'll just be four. So always check the website. I'll try to keep you updated here. Like I'm looking at the schedule, Chris Porter, five shows. I'm sorry. the same thing. Michael Longfellow, four shows. So there you go. So maybe it's the contractual thing. I don't know. But anyway, that's the schedule coming up here at the Comedy Castle. Some four, some five. We want to thank everybody for coming out for Josh Adams. I really enjoy. He was great on the show last week. I always enjoy having Josh at the club because you never know what he's going to do on stage. And it was super funny this week. I was really that cracked me up, man. That was really good stuff. So shout out to Josh. Killed it. Always does. Great stuff. All right. Let's get into what we're talking about today. And that's K. Trevor Wilson. Come on. You guys know Letterkenny. It's one of the biggest Canadian sitcoms in I don't know how long. Like sitcom, single camera. What do I have on the brain that I said single family show? Single camera show. One of those shows that I think people could be watching forever. I think it's, you want to talk about, is this the Canadian version of The Office? It very well could be. A lot of funny people in an ensemble cast. And Trevor, for the 12 seasons, played Squirrely Dan. And certainly one of the more memorable stars from that show. And we talk about the end of that show. A little sad. You know, I didn't want to make it sad, but it ended up getting a little sad. I apologize for that. We'll talk to Trev about Captain Crunch. That's a famous bit that he did. I probably talked about him last time, but we'll talk a little about Captain Crunch. Make sure to look that one up. I don't know that he does that. On stage anymore. It's the greatest hit. Maybe he does. We'll talk about, he did a whole concept album about Canada, the country of Canada. He's from Toronto, of course. And we'll talk about Windsor. What do Canadians really think of Windsor? I know what Americans think of Windsor. We think Windsor's all right. Do Canadians think the same? That might surprise you. He'll tell you what it's like to keep rabbits and why the rabbits have gotten an upgrade lately where he lives. We'll talk. He has great comedy advice about seasonal jokes. Trev also has a Christmas album, which is very entertaining to listen to, as I did. He'll tell you about seasonal jokes. And, of course, we talk wrestling. Trev's a huge wrestling fan. I am as well. We talked a lot about wrestling, some of our favorite 80s wrestlers, some of these guys that have come out and done comedy like Jake the Snake Roberts. He's got a funny Jake the Snake Roberts story. So it's a great interview. I always enjoy having Trev at the club. Like you'll hear very early in the interview. Very memorable weekend when he was with us in December of 23. And I'm looking forward for the same. So come on out, all right? K. Trevor Wilson, let's listen to that interview right now. We'll come back. Talk a little bit more and get you out of here. Here's K. Trevor Wilson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, he is returning to the Comedy Castle this week. It's K. Trevor Wilson. How are you, Trev?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back at the club. I mean, that weekend was very memorable for me. I don't know how it was for you.
It was a good time.
Yeah, the fans.
It was a good time, me and DeBonis hanging out and doing some comedy.
Yeah, it was fun. Those fans of yours, the Letterkenny fans, they brought you gifts. It was nice to see.
Yeah, I tend to get some nice people coming out. Always a few Letterkenny fans. Some people bring out their Coppers merch and... usually I sign a couple Funko Pops and sometimes people will bring me some Cap'n Crunch.
I watched that bit again today before I talked to you. So. The Americans feel for you. They're like, look, here's the Crunch Berries, dude. We'll hook you up.
We have them in Canada now. And oh. I feel personally responsible.
You should be. I'm applauding that for all the, as a former eater of Cap'n Crunch, I applaud that.
My hard work paid off, and my badgering of General Mills and or Quaker has worked. And
that's great.
Sharing the abundance of Crunch Berries with the Canadian neighbors. So,
that's fantastic. I did not know that. That's
tariffs be damned. We're getting our Crunch Berries.
That's right. You deserve it, Ken. Unless Trump takes it away, there's always that chance. But.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully we figured out the secrets to growing Crunch Berries in Canada now.
Yeah, we hope. And we want, we always have Canadian fans. I think pretty much every weekend we have fans from Windsor, Sarnia. They come over, watch the shows. And I know we're going to have a great turnout of Canadians as well as Americans.
Oh, the good old people of Sarnia.
Well, let me ask you this as someone, I believe you grew up in Toronto, which is a place I visit a lot, but what is the reputation? You have a Canada album, which I thought was great.
I have a Canadian album, which is my love letter to my home country.
Yeah. What is the reputation of towns like Sarnia and Windsor?
Windsor, it's a tough town. Yeah. I've played there a lot. Some good people in Windsor. It has an aroma. It takes some getting used to. When you first arrive in Windsor, it smells like burnt rubber.
Okay. All right.
There's the faint hint of an industrial fire whenever you're inside of Windsor, Ontario. It's getting better, but it got sad for a minute. We'll be honest. Windsor knows what it is. And it was sad for a good hot minute. Some life has been breathed back into it, but I haven't been back in a while, but I every time I'm there, it takes a couple hours to be like, I smell burning. And then after a few hours, you're like, I don't smell the burning anymore. But I think that's more me than Windsor. I think I just adjusted.
Yeah.
I think, it takes you a couple hours to acclimate yourself to the smell of industrial fires in Windsor.
Because I think our...
And Sarnia is a similar town. You know, it has a reputation for good place to get stabbed by a tourist for a few years there. But I've got some friends in Sarnia. My mom actually used to teach in Sarnia.
Oh, okay.
way, way back in the day. But I always jokingly call it Sinarnia because I was there years ago with some buddies watching John Wing, a great Canadian comic who's from Sarnia, perform. And after the show, a drunk lady went, "So you guys come to Sinarnia often?" And my buddy Paul Shook, without missing a beat, went, "Oh yes, every time I step through my magic wardrobe." And she did not get the reference.
That's great. Yeah, maybe they're not. I don't know that whole because Americans, like Detroiters, will go at least, you know, years ago, maybe pre 9/11, you would go to Canada and be like, "Oh, that Windsor's so clean. It's so nice there."
Sure, compared to Detroit.
To Detroit in the 80s, I guess. They're probably right. But Detroit's better now. We're on the upswing. We're going to bring Windsor with us, maybe. I don't know.
You think, you know, you guys, you're combining to elevate.
Yeah. And you also said on there a really funny bit on the Canadian album about, you know, people hate Toronto because there's so many assholes. And then you said sometimes
we
small
got the
town
reputation.
Some towns are so small, there's only one asshole. That cracked me up.
Oh, it's true. There's a, you know, there's a static predetermination for assholes, and it's a certain percentage per capita for any region. You're going to have a number of assholes. It always makes me think of advice my grandfather gave out. My grandpa used to say, "Never leave a job because there's an asshole there, because he's going to be at your next job too." He'll have a different name and a different title, but in the end, it's the same asshole.
I think,
and
that's
it's true. My dad's good friend Earl Kern always used to say, whenever he started a new job, he's like, "You know, whenever I started a new place, I always keep my eyes peeled for the asshole. I know he's here somewhere."
All right, so Letter Kenny is over. They've wrapped, at least for now. I know I've heard you be interviewed. You're willing to go back and do more of that, and tell us how that's been with you know, how that feels. I mean, that show is just revered by people who've watched it, and to be on something that's that critically acclaimed must feel really special.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's something that's always going to be a part of my story, no matter how far away we get from it. And it was something, you know, I truly enjoyed doing. You know, it was my first time being, you know, a series regular on the show, you know, being number four on the call sheet, as they say. And it was a great run. It was a great show, a wonderful cast, a wonderful crew. Just really good memories all around, and something, you know, I know all good things have to end, but it's never pleasant when they do.
No.
And, you know, I still try to keep in touch with everybody, and, you know, we'll get together for things every now and again. Last summer, we got to do Fan Expo here in Toronto together. And, you know, I still text with Jared Kiso occasionally, usually birthdays and holidays. We reach out and check in on each other, and I got a great love and respect for him that'll always be there. And, you know, if they ever come up with an idea to bring us back, I'm always open to climbing back into the overalls again. You know, it didn't end because we wanted it to.
Okay.
But, you know, I know he's busy with Shorzy, and I know he's signed on to create some more spinoffs. So we'll see what he comes up with. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's been a couple of years now, but people still come up to me and talk to me about it, and they're shocked that it's over.
That's never going to end. Shows, I don't think, with a show like that, that's never going to end.
Yeah, no, it and shows how much people cared for it. People appreciate it, and you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that people love the show so much, because so did we. I think that's why it was so good, is that everyone really enjoyed making it.
Right. All right, tell me, because this was a bit that we were playing before the show to promote you. Tell me about if you're still living with the rabbits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The rabbits are still alive and kicking. Yeah, we're no longer farming them in a condo, though.
Okay.
During the pandemic, the wife and I upgraded. Well, I got married during the pandemic. Oh,
congratulations. I also just got married a couple months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll be 4 years in August.
All right.
And right around the same time we got married, we moved north of the city. So we got ourselves a little bit of a yard.
Mm-hmm.
And some floors. We were in a one bedroom condo in Toronto, and now we have a several bedroom house in the country. And it's we were just driving each other nuts at the midway point of the pandemic. You know, right. We started sleeping in shifts just to have alone time, and we'd meet twice a day and hang out for a bit, and then one of us would go to bed. And my wife said, maybe we speed up the life plan and start looking at houses. And that was one of the things you could do in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Buy a house. So it got us out and about. And that's been great. So now the rabbits, they were free roam. They had full run of the condo in the day. But
yeah.
Now that we got the dogs, the rabbits have their own room.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a rabbit room in the house, and they're free to just roam around it at will. But I think Dory, our oldest rabbit, must be about coming up on 9 years old.
Oh wow! Okay,
he's getting up there, yeah. 8 or 9, and then Beans, the other rabbit, is just a year behind her. So he's about 7 or 8. So. Considering in the wild, their life expectancy is about 2 years. They're doing quite well.
Oh, that is terrific. Yeah, that's great. Now there's I'm not going to put any, look, I have no issue with having rabbits, but there's a member of our staff at the Comedy Castle that keeps rabbits. And I will, if you want to talk rabbit, I will put you in touch with that person when I see you this weekend.
They're very interesting pets, I have to say. You know, they have a lot more personality than a lot of people realize or get to know, because they're such skittish creatures. You know, you really have to spend a lot of time with them to find out who they are. But they're quite clever and quite mischievous, and they got a lot of attitude. You know, you find out they have their own ways of telling you off.
Really?
Rabbits will thump angrily when they don't like something. But they also like will grind their teeth when they're happy, kind of like a low purr.
Okay.
And it's funny because like in all the cartoons, rabbits go crazy for carrots. But in real life, you want to see a rabbit go nuts, offer it a piece of banana.
Really? Okay. That's the banana.
Rabbits react to banana like an addict to crack cocaine. they stop what they're doing. They sniff the air. I for years, I couldn't eat a banana in peace in my condo. If I started peeling a banana, I'd have two rabbits climbing all over me. Jeez. trying to get a share of it. It is it's like opening up cheese around the mouse from Rescue Rangers, Monterey Jack. They just get hypnotized and float towards you.
Rabbits and bananas. Didn't know that. I'm making note of this here. Put that on the... Yeah, that's a reason for people to listen, right?
Yeah. learn how to make friends with rabbits. Offer them a bit of banana.
Absolutely. And then tell me about... we talked a little bit about the Canada album, but there's a Christmas album. That delighted me. I listened to that preparing to talk to you today. You sing on it as well.
I do the full gamut. I got together the members of my old sketch troupe, Smells Like the 80s. We did some sketches. My wonderful friend, Chris Sugiucci, who did the music arrangement for the album, put together a wonderful group of jazz musicians, and we did some Christmas songs on it. And then I did my Christmas theme stand up, and Christmas with a K.
Yeah.
This is the album. And it's a lot of fun. It was my wife kind of put the idea in my head. We were actually, I think, filming Letterkenny in the fall one year, and we were already started listening to the Christmas songs, and she joked that I should do a Christmas album. I'm such a Christmas guy. And I was like, you know, it's actually not a bad idea. And I just said to my manager, hey, let's do a Christmas album. And he was like, perfect, let's do it. So it's funny because to get it ready for Christmas, you have to record it not at Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
So we put the album together in the summertime. So like we're in the studio with the musicians, you know, recording the songs and bringing in my buddies. And then the stand-up portion I did live in Winnipeg at the Rumors Comedy Club there. And every show, the MC had to be like, okay, Trevor's recording this for an album, but it's a Christmas album. So a good chunk of the material is going to seem very oddly out of season. Just pretend it's Christmas and roll with it. So yeah, they were all really funny. Good sports. But yeah, we had to do the warning before every show. Like, listen, I know it's July, but just play along.
You guys remember Christmas, right? Here's some jokes about it.
Yeah, that's funny. I know we're enjoying the warmth,
yeah.
But like, let's pretend it's cold outside.
Yeah. All right. Let's.
It's fun because every Christmas, it, you know, gets thrown back up on the radio. My recommendation to comedians is a bunch of jokes that are very seasonal because they'll get played every time it comes around.
Interesting.
So, do a whole set about mums. You'll get played every Mother's Day. Do some Halloween jokes. Do some Christmas jokes. Have some seasonal jokes.
Interesting.
And they'll get plugged into the radio on a regular basis whenever those holidays come around.
There it is. There's some hot tips there, comics. If you're listening,
that's my business advice.
All right, we got a few minutes left here, and we could have done 30 minutes for sure on this, but I think we talked a little wrestling last time. Tell me about wrestling. What's the first wrestling you saw? What's the first show you went to? Who'd you see? Because I'm a big wrestling fan. I think we talked about this a little bit last time.
Yeah, we definitely did. It comes up in every aspect of my life. I remember the first wrestling I remember, because when I was a kid, we had Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Yeah, sure.
On TV. And the first wrestling matches I really remember, seeing like, it's probably like Superstars of Wrestling or Primetime Wrestling. And I think there was a six-man tag involving Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, and someone else against Junkyard Dog and Tito Santana and someone else. And I have distinct memories of watching a recap of WrestleMania 4 when Bad News Brown and Bret Hart were the last two guys in the Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. And it looked like they were going to split the prize, and then Brown threw Bret out of the ring, and Bret came back and took him out of the ring and smashed the trophy. And then, like, my buddies and I, we would start watching all the stuff that, like, preceded us. We'd rent all the old videos and watch, you know, WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2 that had already come and gone. But I think the first live show I can truly remember going to was late 80s. It was my buddy Mikey Herman's birthday. And we got tickets to a show at Maple Leaf Gardens. Mm-hmm. And the main event was a handicap match. It was Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Perfect and the Genius.
Okay.
So I want to say this is probably about 88.
Sure.
Maybe 89. It was, it was before the big, pay-per-view in Toronto before the WrestleMania in Toronto, Hulk versus Ultimate Warrior.
Okay, yeah, so that was exactly. That was 90, right, I think.
So it was before that, and it was. I remember after the match, Hogan put Lanny Poffo over his knee and spanked him. I believe there was a Ted DiBiase, Jake Roberts match on the card.
There you go. There's two guys that could go then. Yeah.
I think Superfly, Jim Neidhart were on the card, not against each other, in different matches. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there. All right. I remember Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the only guy who could get an arena full of Canadians to chant USA.
That's cool.
Charismatic man.
Absolutely.
My buddy actually drove Hacksaw and Jake when they were doing a series of live shows up in Canada.
Yeah.
And he said Duggan would always sit behind him when he was driving, and every time he was backing out of the spot, Duggan would reach out of the car and slap the side of the car as hard as he could and go, "Oop, you hit a kid." And every time. And my buddy went, after a while, it just desensitized me. He goes, "You know, I'll back over a kid now, not even think about it. I think Duggan's just messing with me."
The road rib from the territorial days. Ted DiBiase and Jake Roberts both played the Comedy Castle.
So nice.
Yeah.
Now, I opened for Jake a couple times. Yeah. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like Jake a lot. I got to talk to him a lot. Yeah.
One of my favorite things to say is I've had brunch with Jake the Snake.
There you go.
And he's a lot of fun. He's got very funny stories. I mean, he's got some dark stories, as we know.
Sure,
he's got
some
very funny stories from the road. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, he came back from the brunch line with a plate of eggs. He was like, "The guy gave me a real hard time at the omelet station because I just wanted some cheese in my scrambled eggs." Says omelet and eggs. "I didn't want an omelet. I just wanted cheese in my eggs." Yeah. "He gave me a real hard time." And my buddy Ron Sparks was like, "That's bullshit, Jake, because I know Honky Tonk Man that gave him the exact same egg order last week, and he did it without any issue." And Jake was like, "Oh, friend, I know you were just getting funny there and pulling a name out of the ether, another wrestler from back in my day, but let me tell you there, friend, you picked the wrong name, because I hate the Honky Tonk Man with a passion. And I don't like to get a hate on this early in the day, but I hate that man." And then he proceeded to cut a promo on the fucking Honky Tonk Man. And his daughter Dakota was with him. She was managing him at the time. She was on the road with him. And she explained to us the story of Honky hitting him with the real guitar. Yeah. Instead of the gimmicked guitar and leaving chunks of fiberglass in his head.
Ugh.
And then still to this day denying the switcheroo happened.
Yeah, I've seen them both. I've seen interviews with both of them about that. That's pretty, it seems hard to screw up, but they did it somehow. I don't know.
Well, Jake's daughter said he had pieces of fiberglass in his head, and you don't get that from a guitar.
So, I agree. I'm with
you. I got the family witness on that one.
I ring announced for a little bit. I've told you that, but I was ring announcing and I introduced Honky Tonk Man. I mean, this is 10 years ago, right? Something like that. And his intro, he sang the entire Honky Tonk Man theme song twice before the match.
Oh, wow.
That was the full. Yeah. That was his full sort of ring. I said his name and he just came out and did the song two times. It ended. They played it again and he sang it again.
Even Volkov knew not to do the whole song.
He did the whole song twice, and I think the match was probably less time than the two songs put together.
Oh, he probably used up all the match time on the song.
Pretty much. I think that's the gimmick. I think he comes out and he does the song and does a 3-minute match.
Like, I'm already gassed, so yeah. I'm just going to do the song twice. And then,
Hey, I hung out with him a little bit. He seemed all right. I don't know. What am I going to do? You're going to beat me up?
He's an entertaining guy. I mean, yeah. I watched the interviews with him, and, you know.
Right.
Another funny guy with a lot of funny stories.
Yeah. 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 So many of those guys, man. It's the wrestlers. I don't know if today's wrestlers are going to have those stories in 20 years, you know?
Well, I mean, some of the stories I hope to God they don't have.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. Yeah.
But no, it's definitely like, you know, it depends on how you came up. Like the guys who lived and died from the performance center, you know, who came up in the system are going to have the best version of road stories.
Yeah.
But the true indie guys are always going to have those hell gigs. You know, it's like, it's why one of the reasons comedians and wrestlers get along so well. Yeah. We've all played the middle of nowhere for no money. You know, and driven there on our own dime and, you know, to a bunch of lunatics who, you know, comedians and wrestlers have both fought their ways out of small towns.
Exactly.
That was, Sweet Daddy Siki used to run karaoke in Toronto. And my buddy went up to him one night at the karaoke show and said, I remember watching you at the arena in Antigonish. And CK went, oh, I fought my way out of Antigonish a couple of times.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, listen, I think we're going to leave it there. We've got, you know, four shows with Trevor coming up this weekend. It should be a great time. Get out there, people.
Yeah, it's always a fun time at Comedy Castle. So get your tickets. Come on out. I'll be hanging around after the show so you can come say hi.
Get your photo.
Get a picture.
Photo opportunity. There you go. You can't say that, but you're not going to get that at home on television. The photo op.
Yep. You got to come out. That watching Hulu.
Yeah, come out. Come to the Comedy Castle. Come on, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase, and now K. Trevor Wilson, continuing the legacy of
the Man Mountain of Comedy.
And Mick Foley's a regular at our place too. He comes in all the time. He's
Well, Mick's awesome. I've opened for Mick too. I mean, he hangs around until everybody's gotten.
Oh, absolutely. I've been there. He's been at the club till after midnight signing stuff. It's amazing. So, but really looking forward to the weekend.
He's another guy with stories for days.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, great talking to you, Trev. We'll see you this weekend at the Comedy Castle, starting on Thursday. Four shows. Get out. Get your tickets, comedycastle.com. Thanks a lot, man.
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye-bye. Well, you know, hey, what can you say? The guy loves his wrestling. He loves his Captain Crunch. And if you've seen Letterkenny, but just a tremendous stand-up, you'll know how funny K. Trevor Wilson is. He's really one of the funnier guys you'll ever want to see on stage, even if you don't know the show. Even if you're not a Letterkenny fan. He will talk a little bit about Letterkenny. There'll be a little bit of Letterkenny content. Of course, if you ever want to see it, hey, it's on Hulu. It'll be running on Hulu probably forever. You know, if you're in Windsor, it's running on Crave or wherever that runs. I don't know. I don't know what Crave is, but I think that's where the show runs in Canada. I think that's the people that gave them money to make it. And maybe, as he said, disappointingly, had him stop making it. Kind of sad. But hey, it's one of those shows that'll live on forever. And Trevor is just so funny. You got to come out and see him this weekend. Good lineup, like I said. Blaine Hill, Tim Rayburn. Going to be a great weekend. Want to thank you guys for listening to this show as we head into summer. We're going to have, but with the thing about summer, hey, maybe there's one last Friday opportunity for you guys to come out some of these weeks. But we've got all kind of great special one nights, including Maurice Bernard from General Hospital. That's always a big seller. Jeff Garlin in 2 weeks. I might put in an interview request for Jeff Garlin from the legendary Curb Your Enthusiasm. So hopefully I can talk to him. Get the wheels turning on that, eh? That'd be fun. But we want to see you this weekend. K. Trevor Wilson's a blast. Take a picture with him after. Hang out a little bit. Talk to him. Bring him Captain Crunch. Not that he needs that. You don't need to bring him Captain Crunch, but you could. Anyway. We're going to get out of here. We'll catch you at the club this weekend and every week here on the Comedy Castle podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at a show.